gets the ball. Now he's got support. Charging through is Gordon Hamilton. Has he got the pace to get there, the big flanker? Yes!
Tradition, history, the All Black marker.
Weiner steps inside his man.
David, we didn't have 60,000 South Africans, we had 43 million South Africans.
It's coming back for Johnny Wilkinson. He drops for World Cup glory. It's over. He's done it.
This game has been in our minds for, well, in my mind for 2 years probably, and it's great day to be Irish.
All right, hello and welcome to George Hook's World Cup podcast, where I look back at the history of this extraordinary competition and my role within and without the great events that took place every 4 years. In 2003, the first World Cup of the new century, it went over the equator down to Australia, which, of course, with a really good Australian side, meant that they had to start favourites for the competition on home territory. It also, obviously, was going to be good for New Zealand. They just had to jump across the Tasman and they were in business. And England had a long way to go, but were coming off 4 years of really pretty well unbroken success. Clive Woodward had taken a while to actually win a championship. We all remember Keith Wood's great try in the Aviva, which denied England and Woodward a Grand Slam. But Woodward was putting together an English team that approached this World Cup in a very confident state of mind. The coach is the most confident of men, and he insisted on the best of everything for his team, and down they went. This was the first tournament now in which we had bonus points, and that was going to make a difference, obviously, if somebody scored four tries. And other thing then, of course, was Ireland. We were approaching it as usual with sort of a mixture of optimism and trepidation because we'd never got further than the quarterfinal, precisely the situation that, you know, appertained going into this very World Cup in 2015. It looked like a difficult group, I must say, because you had Australia, the favourites for the competition, and Argentina, who, remember, had destroyed us in Lawns and effectively wrote fini to Warren Gatland's coaching career. But Ireland had Eddie O'Sullivan. We had a good team. Eddie was pretty confident. And there were a lot of games, as there tend to be in Rugby World Cup, which aren't real contests. And that's where 2015, of course, does score, because we have tighter games. But Australia, for instance, put 142 points against Namibia in the group. We put 64 past them. Australia scored 90 against Romania. This was Australia at their best. You know, they had Latham at fly half, and they were just so exciting. They had a young Gitto as well playing, who was just pretty extravagant. So these guys looked in the pool stages like they might be winners. And then in an extraordinary game, which was around Melbourne Cup week, Ireland lose by a point. And that was going to be obviously huge, because coming runner-up in the group means, as we all know, you have a much more difficult draw. But I can remember as vividly as now Humphreys dropping a goal in injury time. Sorry, attempting to drop a goal in injury time. And it just went past the left-hand post. And that would have been a famous victory. Instead, it was Australia 17-16. They topped the group. France and Scotland predictably come through, as do England and South Africa in their group. But the big thing was England beat South Africa. Now, suddenly, we were beginning to see, you know, this is a team that could maybe do well in this World Cup. New Zealand, as always, didn't lose a match, headed the pool, Wales in second place. So we're into the quarterfinals, and as they very often are in World Cups, the quarterfinals were a bit predictable. New Zealand see off South Africa. See, South Africa were a shadow of their former selves, really, in this tournament. Australia beat Scotland again comfortably. But the big game was France-Ireland. Eddie's team had really shot their bolt, and they were absolutely destroyed by France. It wasn't even a contest. France won by 43-21, and England came through in their quarterfinals. So semi-finals, a big Southern Hemisphere contest between New Zealand and Australia. A lot of people thought New Zealand were going to win this. I must say, it's one of the times that I'm very often sure about Australia. I always think they're underrated. They were underrated in that semi-final. They put New Zealand away pretty comfortably. And France had a bad semi-final. And it's France, again, epitomising their performance in World Cups. They just mix the brilliant with the awful, and they were pretty average against England. So the final setup, it's England Australia, the South African referee, and it was a lot of dispute. I mean, England have got the World Cup won, they've got it done, and they Australia get a penalty literally in injury time to equalise it. And now you're in injury time and this happens.
He's tackled 15 metres from the line. Back's there. Wilkinson will drop for goal. There's offside surely against England. No, Martin Johnson has it. He drives. There's 35 seconds to go. This is the one. It's coming back for Johnny Wilkinson. He drops for World Cup glory.
Yes!
It's
up.
It's over. He's done it. Johnny Wilkinson is England's hero yet again. And there's no time for Australia to come back. England have just won the World Cup.
Oh, my.
Well, it really was pretty special, even with the strangulated, oh, my God, at the end of it. But the BBC there with the radio commentary on the final. What happened afterwards, of course, was Clive Woodward becomes Sir Clive. He goes to the palace. He becomes the expert at Southampton Football Club. He becomes an amazingly sought-after after-dinner speaker at extraordinary fees. And many of the team, really, who had contributed to that great World Cup didn't really get it very much at all. And I was at a conference a couple of years later where Justin Leonard was there, and the previous day, they were talking to Clive, and the question was, you know, which was the most important component? Was it the coaching component or was it the playing component? Well, of course, you got the answer that it was the coaching component. And then the following day, Justin Leonard was there and he actually put it in stronger terms. He said it was 95% the players. So in a week in which no doubt we'll be looking at Joe Schmidt's performance in charge of Ireland, the English players felt they had won that World Cup on their own bodies. But it was an extraordinary event. Again, Eddie was to survive for four more years and go to France. He'd really had a good World Cup other than that French match. Australia rued losing, I think. Australia were very unhappy about losing. They felt they had been badly refereed. But we were going on and we couldn't wait for four more years to turn up in France on 2007.